You are listening to engaging and exciting conversation on the Radiant Culture Podcast.
Get ready.
Now.
What's up, everybody? This is the Radiant Culture Podcast, and I'm your host, Cookie Monster. I'm back. We're back. And this week, we have another phenomenal episode. In fact, I'm actually really excited about this one because of the guest that we have in the house.
Yeah.
But before I introduce the guest, I'm going to introduce Mr. Kent.
Yeah, I told you I'm becoming a regular.
Yeah, man, the producer is becoming a regular. You know how it is when the regulator also becomes a player.
Wow.
Which is the situation we kind of have in Africa.
So I'm like, and I set up my own network. Yeah?
You see, this is the problem. Yeah, this is all corruption stuff. But anyway, it's all good. It's all good, man. We love having you. We love having you. And of course, our guest today is none other than Dan Duchel.
Yeah.
Dan, what's happening?
Well, here's the thing. It doesn't feel right that I'm coming on just as my name because we have Cookie Monster and Ken. And so it's like, I feel like I'm missing something. But it's okay. Cool. I'll do my best.
Dude,
under my name.
We can give you a new
exactly.
name.
Exactly.
I was hoping that for
that. We're known for that.
But let's wait. Let's not rush it. As it comes.
Okay, naturally. Just organically.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly.
All good, man.
Yeah.
Well, Dan, I've known Dan for many, many, many. In fact, we've both known Dan for many, many years.
Very long time.
A bit of a blast from the past, eh?
Yeah,
exactly.
Blast from the past. So it's nice to see Dan in here, and Dan is all grown up and doing a lot of interesting things. One thing about Dan is that Dan is a bit of a clown, eh? I know people.
Oh, yes. Thanks for that.
Man.
So kind, bro. Keep going, bro.
Come on. Yeah, man. So nice. This guy, when you see him up there leading worship and doing all the serious stuff, you know, you tend to forget that, yeah, this guy is... I know Dan. I hang with Dan, and yeah, Dan, it's a bit of a club. But it's cool, so I guess we're going to get to experience the multiple aspects of Dan today. Dan, welcome to the show, man.
Oh, bro, listen, it's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah.
It's actually, I've listened to your podcast a few times.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I've always thought, like, oh, what's the vibe like in the room? And for anyone listening, it's a vibe. It's a total vibe. Nice. Just sitting here looking at each other. What's up, guys?
No, that's how we roll, cool, man.
No, but it's such an honor to be with you guys. And truly, I'm actually excited to be here. So it's fun.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
Awesome. So let's jump into it. Dan, you're a pastor's son.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's correct.
PK. And of course, you know, there's a stereotype that comes with being a pastor's kid. Let's talk a bit about that first. How has it been for you? Growing up in Zim as a pastor's son, your parents are from the States, set up a church in Zim, you know, but you've pretty much grown up in Zim.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah. Well, you grew up in Zim your whole life, because it's not like you're like a lighter anymore. Right? Yeah, so walk us through that. How was that?
You know, it's a question I get asked a lot. Like, what's it like being a pastor's kid?
Yeah.
And, you know, your parents being American and all this kind of stuff. And what's weird is that you only know what you know.
Yeah.
So it's not like I have something to compare it to. But as I've gotten older, you know, there's things I've realized that I didn't realize were affecting me even as a pastor's kid, whether it's the pressure of being watched or people expecting you to, you know, kind of fit a certain criteria at all times. And sometimes you would try to live up to that. And other times, you know, you could be almost fake sometimes. Mm-hmm. You're trying to figure that out, you know. And so it was a challenge. But I think something that I learned over the years was that, man, I'm not going to be able to fit in everyone's mold.
Yeah.
And, I'm also fallible. I'm also a person. And so it was an interesting journey going from, gosh, you kind of have to be the model child, if you will, to also realizing, like, shucks, you're also a person working out your own faith, working out your own walk.
Yeah.
So it was interesting, to say the least, you know. But there's always room to be a bit of a skabanger from time to time.
Always room.
Yeah.
What's crazy is something that you said there, that you always have to be the model child.
Mm. Yeah.
I think that's crazy, though, that everybody's watching you, and to some people, you're not just a
anybody,
child,
yeah,
right? They're
yeah.
thinking, this is Pastor Tom's son, so he's got to behave like this. He can't be macking on chicks.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you can't. It's like you just have to live up to all these expectations.
Yeah, completely. You know, you go to a store and you be Like, you'd just be walking past the liquor section, or you know, just because you're going to around the store, and I'd just be like, oh, I saw Daniel Deschamps there. And you're like, sure, guys, I mean, you know, you'll hear stories, your parents will be coming to you, and there'll be owns telling on you, Daniel was seen with a girl somewhere. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, that was my sister. Like, you know, you just don't know. Or you maybe liked a chick, and you're actually with the chick somewhere, yeah. But it's still that pressure. So, in some ways, there was sometimes a tendency to hide, you know, but then there's also the reality of like, well, if you hide, then you're not even being real. So like, it's like, so at some point there came a point where it's like, well, I actually just have to be who I am and where I am.
Yeah.
You know, so, and sometimes I think those pressures are said, and then other times they're not really said, but they may be perceived in your own mind.
Right.
And sometimes that's a challenge sometimes, you know, but I was lucky to have a lot of real people around me as well, you know,
yeah,
who would also let me be who I was and, you know, ask me just questions about where I really was in my walk as a person. And that made a big difference, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, tell me this, Dan, because I just think it's really interesting. Church in Zim is obviously quite different from church, or church in Africa is quite different from church in the
sure.
States, right?
Yeah.
In Africa, the way we do church is that generally the pastor is on a pedestal. The pastor is held in very high regard.
Mm-hmm.
And so naturally his family is as well, to a degree.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then... Now you, so you almost have to, it's like you're under your parents' shadow.
Yeah.
And you're measured against your parents to a degree, right?
Yeah.
My question is that, at what point did you then begin to carve out your own image, your own journey? Or let's talk about it from a faith perspective to say, at what point did you then decide that, you know what, this is more than just my parents' faith. Mm. This is actually... my faith is, or this is the journey that I'm going to walk for myself.
Yeah. I mean, that's such it's a loaded question, because I think to answer the first part of your question, I'll say, yeah, there's that pressure.
I ask like, a load of questions, man.
Yeah, good. That's because you're the cookie monster, bro. Don't hold back, China. But no, I think to answer the first part of the question, I'd say is like, you know, the pedestal piece, you know, there's times you put on a pedestal and you don't want to be on. Mm-hmm. You know, you're genuinely like, I don't want to be on a pedestal. Like, it's weird. Like, let me just be, you know, a 15-year-old kid or a 14-year-old kid. Let me like a girl and want to hold her hand. you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like,
yes, please.
Yeah, come on, you know. And I did, you know, shout out. You know, but I'll say, you know, I think my journey with the Lord, you grow up in church, you're part of church, you see every angle of the church.
Yeah.
You see... the good, you see the bad, you see the mistakes, you see all of it. And sometimes that can be tough because, you know, some of your relationships are at the mercy of the church. Mm. Some of your friendships are at the mercy of the church.
Yeah.
And that's tough because, like, there may be a falling out somewhere in a different part of the church. And then I'm like, yo, what happened to our friendship? And it's like it's all kind of summed together. So that was a challenge.
Wow.
But I think for me and my personal walk, you know, I always loved the Lord from the time I was a kid. And my parents really... made an emphasis on us having our own faith. And I didn't quite understand that for many years. I'm like, yeah, of course I have my own faith. Of course I love God, you know?
Yeah.
But I didn't quite know what it meant to live for God or to say, God, I actually, whatever you want in my life, a surrendered life. I don't think I fully, you know, I don't think I fully understood what that meant, you know? Realize that God really wants our lives, you know? And then I think, you know, because I think you probably all both know that there's a point in your life where you come to where you say, it's either I'm going all in with God, or I'm just going to dabble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I dabbled unintentionally, thinking my heart was in the right place, I think, but I just didn't know to say, God, hey, anything you want is yours in my life.
Wow.
And then I think at 24, 25, I think I really, I just said, God, either, you know, I had anxieties in my life. I had anxieties of like, hey, career, proving myself, where am I going? What am I doing? All the pressures you know, feel.
To listeners, they think like a pastor's kid having anxiety. That's that's like, where would that come from? But that's really good that, you know, you're bringing this out.
Like, massively, man. I used to wake up like, what am I doing with my life? Yeah. Like, you know, I felt some sort of a crazy pressure. And I think everyone feels this kind of pressure.
Yeah.
Like, where am I going? You know, who am I going to marry? Like, you know, this always weight on your shoulders. Like, what if I don't make it by the time I'm 30? Or, you know, is music even going to be something I do? Because I was doing music at the time.
Yeah.
I had all these pressures, man. I wake up stressed. Depressed sometimes. And then I started reading the scripture. My brother played a big role in this. And he's like, dude, just start reading the Bible every day. Mm. And I was like, okay, fine. I'm just going to start. So I started reading the word. And not to mention, in that time, I was also battling with pornography straight. So like, you have all these things. People think, oh, pastor's kids, they'd never struggle with that stuff. But I'll tell you, of course, you know, I'm not ashamed of it.
Yeah.
Because I think, if anyone's really honest, I think most people struggle with it.
This is it, man.
I'm like, you know, just be honest. And so I think, and there was such a, it was, that was hard to even talk about for many years. Because I'm like, how do you talk to Ernst about that?
Yeah.
You know, you're the pastor's kid. Why are you catching fire? You know? However,
you're the model child.
Exactly. You're the model child. However, you break it all down. It's like, listen, the enemy's after all of us.
Yeah.
So I was riddled with things. I, you know, trying to, I suppose, medicate with other things, not necessarily drugs or anything, but you look for things. You know, you distract yourself on Instagram. You distract yourself on TV. Work, you try to strive.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you get the point. But then there's a time I started reading the scripture, and it's like, every good and perfect gift comes from above.
Yeah.
From the Father of lights, there's no shifting or shadow. You know, it's like, delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. I started reading these scriptures and I was like, wait a second. Either this is true or it's not true.
Yeah.
And part of me was scared to actually make that leap and say, okay, this is it and I'm going all in. But there came a day where I said, Father, I'm coming all in. And I'm going to jump off the proverbial cliff and just trust you. And I'm going to actually let my heart go there. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's different from when you're like, oh, I love God, I trust Him. He's going to work things out. But to really say, you have all my chips. However you want to lead me, however you want to go. Whatever you want to take. Because there's no plan B.
No Tracks. Plan B. Yeah.
When you go all in on God, if He lets you down, then there's nowhere to go.
Yeah. So what's there outside of God?
Nothing else. Yeah. So it's almost before that. It's like you can kind of, God's there. But He's always like a backup plan in some kind of a way.
Yeah.
But when you go all in, it's like, He better catch you, but He does catch you.
Yeah.
And that's what I found.
Wow.
You know, I found that. And I was set free from the struggle of pornography, like, not instantly, but over a journey. Like, I started feeling just a weight come off my shoulders. And it was like a deliverance in my own bedroom, just praying, just within the Word.
Wow.
And I just felt the weight come off. And I was like, wow. It wasn't someone prayed for me.
Yeah.
It was just in just proximity with Him, you know?
Yeah.
And so that was kind of my journey. So I'd say, I wanted to say I was always born again. But I think when I was in my mid-20s, I really found God.
Wow.
You know? That's awesome. Man. Yeah. So at what point in your journey is this? Were you in uni? Were you done with uni?
Oh, after uni, you know?
Okay.
After uni. Yeah. In uni, I've always been conservative and chilled and like, I wasn't like out and doing stuff. I just was like trying to live a Christian life.
Yeah.
But I don't think I had a full revelation always, you know?
Okay.
But then I think probably like I moved to LA. LA was an interesting challenge. And then, probably... You know, because I thought, but nothing opened for me in LA at first. No doors to go and do stuff with the big guys at first. And I was like, you know, and then.
So had you always wanted to do music, Dan?
Yes and no. I think.
What did you study?
When I was a kid, I said, I'll be a pastor.
Okay.
That's what I honestly thought you were going to be a pastor. Because
you used to pray for Owen.
Exactly. When you were so young.
I know.
And people would get healed and all that. Yeah. Like, it was crazy. And just looking at it, you know, you had. Tommy and John, Live Out Loud, they were the music guys, they were the rock stars, and Ben was the dancer, so you'd always think, what's Dan gonna, he's gonna be the pastor, he's gonna take over, you know, that sort of thing.
I know.
And then he becomes a music producer, you're like, what?
I know, I mean, I didn't think I was gonna be a musician, you know, I thought, I thought my brothers were the ones, you know, doing music.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I'm gonna be a pastor, and then eventually I was like, I actually think I'm going to do music.
what changed?
Bro, I don't know. Well, I started making beats, you know. There's a season where everyone was making beats. Tikola.
Yes.
Now Bantu. You know, everyone, you know, Keith, you yourself.
Yeah,
you
was making beats.
I was making beats.
Everyone was making beats.
Everyone was doing beats. So I was like, oh, this is where it's at, you know. So I got a laptop and I started just, you know, jamming around a bit. And then I think, you know, in the youth group, I was like, how do we make an album for the youth group? And so I was like, I can learn. I know how to make music. So then that kind of led to, okay, this can work. And slowly but surely, I think from there, you know, just different opportunities to keep making music kept coming up.
Nice.
And so then I was like, oh, well, let me maybe go study this. This could be a career.
Yeah.
I'll never forget, there was a girl.
There's always a girl.
So I got approached by this lady and it was a mom. She asked me, she's like, hey, can I pay you to write a song for my daughter's 16th birthday for her?
Wow.
And I'm like, how do you write a song about a chick who's 16? And you're like, I don't even know this girl. You know, she's a cute girl, whatever. And then I was like to the mom, she's like, so what's your price? And I'm like, I was going to say like $50. And I was like, what are you thinking? And she goes, is $1,000 okay? And I was like, I was like, yeah, it's fine. It's fantastic. Fine. Yeah, that can do, you know. Yeah, that's all right.
That's about right.
Yeah. So anyway, that was my first job. And I was like, I didn't make another $1,000 for like 7 years. but it kind of, you know, piqued my interest. I was like, I think I can make a living out of this.
Wow.
You know? So, but I think, you know, who knows? I may be a pastor one day. I don't know. But, you know, I think the Lord knows how to lead us. So we never know. We never know.
I mean, listen, man, your preaching is really good.
Yeah.
I appreciate that, Kuta.
Yeah.
It's very kind.
Yeah.
Kind words, bro.
So maybe on the path there.
Yeah, you never know, bro. You never know. You heard it here first.
Dan is preaching on Sunday, by the way.
That's true.
So, yeah. So just come ready. I'm ready to mark the sermon to make sure that it's theologically.
Tapes will not be sold after the service.
Yeah. No pressure. Nah, man, Dan is a solid preacher. And so I think this is the thing that I appreciate, Dan, just watching you, you know, watching you grow, watching you become this man that, you know, that you've become and that you are becoming. Yeah. You know, from the lighty who used to goof around at youth and just do stupid pranks and all of that stuff, right?
At camp. I remember.
We were leaders.
We were leaders, yeah.
And guys. You owns were a pain, man.
I can't deny it. I can't deny it. It's by grace that I am what I am.
Praise God for his grace.
Jeez. Yeah.
So let's just talk through the journey.
Yeah.
So you then discover that, you know what, I want to pursue this music thing.
Yeah.
And then you finish college.
Well, I finished high school. And then I was like, well, the next logical step is to go to uni in the States.
Right.
Try, you know, as everyone did, we all bounced and went somewhere, you know. At the time, T. Collar went to a school called Filsail, and I was like, I want to go and, you know, kind of go there. It seems cool, you know. So I went for school there. But, man, I really struggled because I didn't have much community there.
Okay.
The majority of my class was on drugs. Not a Christian school.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, this is just tough. And that's when I would call my dad and say, Dad, I don't think I'm good enough. Like, I don't know if I'm good enough to do this music thing. Mm. Like, I feel like some days I make something nice, and then for like 10 days straight, I make just trash.
Mm. Yeah.
And, you know, but he was so encouraging. He's like, Dan, hey, if you make trash, it's okay. You just know what not to make tomorrow. Yeah. You know, wow, so I was like, it's kind of comforting, you know, but it wasn't like this music just came. It was easy.
Yeah.
I was like struggling. I was like, man, I don't know if I'm ever going to be good enough at this, you know?
Right.
So that was my journey. Florida, I got engaged.
Oh, yes.
Wow. You did. I got engaged. That was wild. I was 19. She was 24.
19.
So she's 5 years older than me.
Yeah.
And man, I just couldn't do it. I just was feeling so anxious. The relationship wasn't the greatest. I was young. You know, things were tough.
See how much pressure you put on people like myself?
Yeah, bro. We just wanted to keep, like, you know.
Dan is engaged. What are you doing, bro?
You remember Sam? Remember Sam? Big Sam?
Yeah.
Sam was
posted. Kabambe.
Sam posted on Facebook. He's like, if you would have asked me all these years ago, like, if Dan would be engaged before me, I never would have guessed. I'm like,
Sam, that's so
sad. Sam, you're right, Sam. Didn't happen.
Yeah, anyway. He's married now. Married. Yeah, he's married. Got a kid.
Good for him. I'm glad. That's the right order. I was waiting for that to happen so I could come get married. But yeah, so that was that. And then from there, you know, I went through a breakup as I graduated.
Just hold up. Sorry to just come back to this. 25. So 5 year.
5 year difference. Yeah. Yeah.
You got some game, man.
Yeah, I know it's a game.
I don't know, guys. I don't know. Either I have the game or she had the game. I don't know. Cradle snatching, bro. I don't know. We don't know. That's the verdict's out.
Okay, anyway, carry on.
So I was in Florida. I did 2 years there, and then I came back to Zim. But, man, I was so depressed, man. I was so anxious. I just wasn't doing well. I don't know why, you know. And then when I was in Zim, I was like, okay, I need to move. I was like, I need to move somewhere. I think I'm going to go to California.
Okay.
So I kind of just trusted God. I said, I'm just going to go to California. And so I got in my car in Florida and just drove the whole way across the United States. I was broker than broke. I was so broke. And I just went all the way to California, you know, and my dad would help with like gas money and stuff. Yeah.
And Dan, this is the thing, right? Just to interject. Many people think because you're Pastor Tom Duchal's son, you got lots of money. Right, yeah. People think
misconception.
You've always got sheets in your pocket.
Yeah, well, I think, and I'm glad you brought that up. I think that's it is a misconception. You know, it's like a lot of people think, oh, people are in ministry for money, and I don't know, maybe some people are. Some people are, I think that's the reality. But it's, yeah, it's never been the case. There's times, you know, where I didn't have much, and there's times that I've had plenty, you know, but it's not like my parents are like, hey, here's 10K a month.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just not happening. Right. It's not even like they're like, hey, here's a K a month. It's just not, it's not the case. You know, my parents
are. And we've had the privilege of having both your parents on the podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And some of the stories they share, you're like, yo, like, y'all went through some stuff.
Yeah. I mean, also my parents. My parents have had their days. You know? You know, it's not like they're just rolling. It's, you know, but they've also seen God's provision in different ways.
Yeah, for sure.
But God doesn't provide sometimes the way we plan or we think. Yeah. You know? So yeah, now I'm going to California. I have nowhere to live in California. I don't really know many people. I have one friend, really, two.
Yeah.
And I just say, guys, I'm coming. And so my homie, I'm like, can you ask someone in your church if I can just stay with them for a few days?
Yeah.
So he asks his family, and I'm like, shucks. Mind you, I just came through a breakup. I'm not doing great. I'm a little bit antisocial.
Yeah.
I'm just like, shucks, I just don't know what to do. So I get there, I'm staying with his family in California, and you know, I'm trying to talk to them and stuff, and I'm looking for a place to stay. Mind you, I have no cash.
Shucks, so, man.
After like a few weeks, maybe like 2 weeks, I was supposed to move out. And so, but the lady who I was living with, it was an older couple, lovely, godly couple. Mm. They don't know me from soap. They don't know me from anything. And they're like, hey, how have you been? How's the search for a place coming? I said, it's honestly not coming great.
Mm.
She goes, good. We've been praying about you, and we feel like you're supposed to live here.
Wow.
And she just simply said, just so live with us. Pick your room and you're staying here. And I just went to my room and wept, you know, because I was like, God, I didn't know where I was going next. And I just kind of felt like I took a step of faith and, you know, he came through for me.
Wow.
You know, and now I'm there in California, no job, but I have a place to stay. I don't quite know how to even begin connecting with music.
Yeah.
And to be honest, my self-confidence is a little dashed after my relationship and I'm a bit hurt, you know?
Yeah.
So this family was just so kind to me. And then my brother, Tommy, says, dude, I just heard this amazing track on an ad. He's like, bro, it's a credible track. It's like anointed almost. He's like,
wow. He's
like, I looked up the composer, the guy who made the track. He's in LA. You got to connect with this dude. I'm like, well, fine to say that. But
like, just randomly?
Yeah, okay. I might as well connect with Hans Zimmer as well.
Exactly.
You know? But anyway, so then he's like, hey, dude, I really feel like you should connect with this guy. And I was like, I don't know, bro. Let's just give it a month. If you still feel this way, then you can, you know. So a month later, I'm hoping he forgot. Then he remembers. He's like, bro, I need to reach out to this guy. I was like, okay, go ahead. You can reach out to him for me if you want
to.
He reaches out to this guy and he says, hey, my brother's in LA. Would love for him to meet you. Connect with some guys who are doing music. Basically tries to, just says, hey, and he'll buy you a coffee. Would love for you guys to meet if that's possible.
Yeah.
He does music. The guy responds on the same day.
Wow.
And he says, I'm actually married to a girl from your youth group in Zimbabwe.
You lie.
I promise. He's like, I'm married to a girl. I know all about your family and you guys, and I'd love to meet your brother.
Did Tommy know this?
No one knew this.
Wow.
No one knew this. He's from Texas, and he married a girl from the youth group in Harare.
So he didn't...
No clue. That's entirely the hand of God. Entirely. So then I meet this guy, and man, we just became great friends. And he's like been my friend now for, gosh, 10 years.
Wow.
And at the time, I just didn't know anything. I also was like, man, this guy's awesome, and his music's great, and I'm connecting with his wife. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what in the world? This is crazy.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's a weird connection, but only God. There's no way that could have been. And it wasn't even my own hands.
Yeah.
It was God's provision through my brother, because I didn't have the strength in myself.
Yeah.
So now we connect, and there's no pressure. We just became friends. And he'd ask me, like, what are you trying to do with music? And I'd tell him, I'm like, yeah, I'm trying to learn.
Yeah.
And then one thing led to another, and the friendship grew, and he kind of took me under his wing for like 5 years.
Nice.
And trained me, you know.
Wow.
Unintentionally, but as a friend, and it just became really cool, and that kind of launched my career.
Nice.
Yeah.
That is pretty awesome, man.
Yeah. Pretty wild.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
It taught me something really big. It taught me that even when you don't have the strength, God can still make moves in your life.
In your life. Wow.
Like he's leading us for real.
Yeah.
You know?
That's crazy, man.
Even when I was like, don't do it. Don't reach out. Why did my brother feel that, you know? So it's pretty cool. It's just like kind of a cool testimony of God's
hand. And even just going back, why did you feel the urge to just drive to California?
Correct.
Like, yeah.
Exactly. I don't know. I'm so glad I did.
Exactly.
You know?
That's pretty dope, Dan.
You know? So, yeah.
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 So that's a bit of the journey to California. And that's in that time where I found God as well. Like, really found God.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then from there, I moved to Texas. And I've been in Texas for 3 years. And I just recently moved to Oklahoma. So I'm bouncing about right now, you know?
Yeah. So, no, I love it.
Yeah.
So let's fast forward to now. What's Dan doing now?
what's Dan doing? Yeah, now, well, I do music basically full time, and then also sometimes some ministry when I'm in Harare.
Okay.
Jack Rana Festival is coming up.
Oh yeah. I was going to talk about that. Maybe let's talk about that a bit later.
Yeah. So, mainly music full time.
So let's talk about that a bit.
Yeah.
What exactly do you mean by doing music?
Well, I think I write music for commercials, for brands, things like that. A bit of licensing.
Your song was used by Bill Gates, right?
Correct.
Nice.
The Bill Gates Foundation. I was like, hey, I don't know about this guy. No, but I mean, yeah, it's cool, you know, the foundation. But yeah, so it gets used on a lot of stuff, you know. Yeah. So it often gets picked up and used for, I mean, Nike and big companies like that. Yeah. So it's been really, really special. But yeah, I've been really, really fortunate in that way.
Dude, that's awesome, man.
Yeah.
That's really awesome.
And then, so I also do some local brands, you know, here and there.
Yeah, nice. We know. You did an ad for the commercial for
Bitumen World.
Yes. That's awesome.
Did you do the Econet one?
The smart data one?
The smart data
that
one.
Yeah.
The one that I was on.
Yes. You can see Kudos on YouTube.
You need take heed.
Yeah.
Kudos is quite an actor. You should see him. He's quite impressive.
That's awesome, Dan.
Yeah, so that's kind of what I'm doing
that's
now.
That's the best ever Econet thing you've ever done.
That was a phenomenal.
In my opinion. Yeah, that
it was actually
really
a cool
good.
Campaign.
Dude, that was crazy.
It was cool.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
Made me famous.
We got to do another one of those bad boys.
Yeah.
You're famous for many reasons.
Good things, I hope.
And scoring, do you do any of that for film, games, that sort of,
Not games yet.
Okay.
But I do some stuff for film. Nice. I've done a few documentaries.
Okay.
And some interesting documentaries from Zim. I did one called it's called White Yet Black.
Okay.
Wow.
It's about like albinism and stuff.
I know this. I know it. Sorry.
Stephen.
Yes.
Stephen Chikwazi.
That's the one. Steve Chikwazi. Yeah.
So I worked with him on that score.
Yeah.
And that did really well, you know, that documentary.
Yes, it did.
So that was cool to work with him on that. Yeah, so.
Awesome, man.
One of the local ones.
I was with Steve last week.
He's a cool guy.
Cool guy.
Really
yeah,
cool guy.
Such a cool guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
I went to junior school and high school with a guy.
No way.
Yeah.
Was he a cool guy?
Really cool. Always chill.
That's cool. So he's consistent there over the years.
Yeah.
We only know cool guys, man.
Yeah. That's it, bro.
But we've got to talk about Makanaga.
Okay.
Bring it in.
Keep bringing it in, bro.
Take it there, man.
So what was the inspiration? Because that is like a smash hit,
man.
Like that song. Yeah.
Do you know
what? How did that come about?
It actually is a funny story. This song. In my lonesome years in California, there, I was in my room one day, and I was so inspired by a song by the band Beatenberg. You know Beatenberg?
Yes,
they have a track called Pluto.
Yeah.
And I dig that track.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, I want to capture something that like feels like this.
Yeah.
So I made this little track, and I was actually asked to do an ad. Because at the time I was doing a lot of stuff for C Media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So my brother had an ad for, I can't remember, one of the companies in Zim. And they're like, dude, we need a track. So I made this track. Ding, 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 ding. I made the beat.
Mm-hmm.
And I saved it to them. And it just wasn't, I think the ad fell through. It didn't actually happen.
Yeah.
So Devin Peterson at the time was working in C Media with Ben, my brother. And he had the track on his laptop. So they were at an event with my oldest brother, Tom. And Devin was just playing it off his laptop. And my brother came past and was like, bro, what track is that?
Yeah.
It was just an instrumental.
Yeah.
And Tommy goes, dude, this thing is a jam.
Yeah.
And so I actually had it in a trash folder on my laptop.
Oh, my.
I didn't think much of it. I was like, it's probably not going to be used for much film-wise.
Yeah.
So then Tommy goes, bro, that track is nuts. And it was called Zimbos in a Pool.
What?
I promise you, that was the working title.
I relate, because that's how most tracks start. When you do them, you just name them some weird
Zimbos in a pool.
So that was the working title. I was like, bro, we need to turn that thing into a track. Zimbos in a Pool is a banger. So I'm like, okay, dope. So Tommy and I are like, dude, like, just sit down and write something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So one day we're at his house, on his bed, just start writing. And we just took turns just coming up with melodies and ideas.
Yeah.
And then, boom, Makanaka dropped.
Yeah.
And then we didn't expect it to do anything. So we just like soft launched it on like YouTube. We didn't even have it on Spotify or anything for a long time.
Yes, for a while.
For a while.
Because I was looking for it. I'm like, these guys are nuts. Why are you not?
We didn't know. know. We're like, ah, it's probably just going to be, you know, people will enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then it blew up. But then it, like, then all of a sudden I got a call from Cape Town and they're like, your song is doing number one in Cape Town.
Wow.
Are you, like, can we talk to Super Africa? I'm like, oh, this is, I'm like, I was shocked, you know?
Yeah.
So that was cool. And then it's consistently been a hit with the 5-year-olds and the 6-year-olds. I'm like, oh, yeah, my fan base. Who's your fan base? Oh, it's 5-year-olds.
With the 5-year-olds.
Correct.
Yeah, my kids love it.
Man, yeah. It's so great. It's so weird when people come to me like, my kids love your song. I'm like, not the market I'm going for, but thank you. Thank you. No, but it's actually, it's such a special thing, man.
Yeah.
When you see kids enjoying.
No, yeah. Kids love that song, man.
Oh, they dig it, man.
So I suppose those of us who love it,
yeah,
are technically kids
inside. Kids at heart, bro. Children of the Lord, bro.
No, it's a jam. It is a jam.
But you know what's funny, I think, is like, it was really weird for me, probably like a few weeks ago, someone said to me, they're like, dude, I grew up listening to the song when my mom was taking me to school. I'm like,
wow. Oh.
Grew up.
They were 12 when the song came out. And now they're like 18, 19. Yeah, I'm like, oh, it's been like 6 years or 5 years. You know? So that was kind of a weird feeling.
We're old, man.
Oh, we're getting old, bro. We just don't change how we look too much.
Exactly.
Which is a good thing, right?
Especially you, Kuda. You still look like 15, bro, with me. I don't know why I say with me, but with me.
Oh, nice. With your fan base. Five-year-olds.
Oh, no.
I'm sure you guys know the track Makanaka. Of course, you have to know
it. Yeah, yeah.
Beautiful track. Somewhere you found me. Kingdom will don't leave me the same. Beautiful song.
That, the synth line is so addictive. It's like, yeah.
Bro, I'm still trying to crack the code like that again. Genius. I'm like, I think that might be the code. I peaked early, bro. Dang it.
Yeah.
No, that's a beautiful track. Yeah.
No, thanks, guys. Thank
beautiful
you.
Track.
Yeah.
So, and then, of course, you know, Dan, you've written a lot of songs, especially at church.
Yeah.
Dan is one of the worship leaders at church, and a lot of the songs that we sing at church are actually written by you. So walk us through that a bit. You know, how do you come up with your songs, worship songs? You know, is there a method to the madness?
Yeah. So what I do is I get in the bathtub. Hey, listen, in my clothes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, man.
Oh, no. No, I think, you know, when it comes to those songs, I think something I see in worship music a lot these days is that people try to write songs that are catchy.
Yeah.
For the church.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's can. I think Celebrate Africa is a little bit of like that because it's not quite worship. It's right. It's songs to enjoy and listen to.
Yeah.
Whereas worship, when it comes to worship, it's like, man, what genuinely comes out of your heart to the Lord? That's at least the angle I take.
Yeah.
Like, what are the melodies that I feel are singable for the church, but then also something that is just natural, you know, like what feels like it just comes out. So I often sit with my mom. And she has so many lyrics that she's pulled and written that she has no melodies to.
Yeah.
So I just throw them up on the piano and just start writing to her lyrics. And then I start putting the melodies to it. And you know, that's how like He Reigns came about.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of those songs. So
some moments, your mom's deep, man.
Yeah. She definitely has a gift. Yeah, you know, and she's does. Definitely
she did a verse for a song that I wrote with Janet.
Mm.
We came up with this chorus. Lovely, lovely song.
Mm.
And then she's just like, I've got a verse for your song. And then...
That's awesome.
Literally overnight, you know?
Crazy,
And stuff. And I'm just like, wow, okay.
Yeah. So I think...
So she just has that thing.
She does have that. And she knows how to like, just bring it to a place where it's like, that feels great.
Exactly. You know,
finished. So she's been huge in my songwriting for church. And also, I always approach it, and if you know my mom, you know she's big on this, from an angle of, are we singing to God? Or we're singing about ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's big on that.
She's
massive
on that. And I think that's always been like the plumb line for me. It's like, okay, are we very insular and like self-reflective in the songs? Or are we singing to worship? Is it worship? Is it actually worship?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of how I approach those songs, you know?
I love that.
Yeah.
Because of course, you know, a lot of worship music today and just in the church world are very sentimental, very about me and...
Yeah.
Very inward focused almost. A lot of them not very scriptural. We're finding a lot of that, you know.
Yeah.
And I think just finding It's just being able to write songs that are scriptural, that are focused on God, that actually worship God, as opposed to talking about me.
Yeah.
I think there's a huge distinction there, and I think that's a really important thing.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. To make him big, I think, man, you're looking at yourself, ish, we can get consumed, eh? And it's quickly overwhelming.
Yep.
It's overwhelming, like, shucks, you know? But yeah.
No, cool. So tell me, you want to say something?
Yeah, so I was going to ask, having been raised in Zim, and now living in the States on this music journey, how has that kind of shaped how you make your music? Growing up in this culture, but you're American, and also now in America, that's where you're kind of based.
Yeah.
Like, all those influences, how does that shape your music?
Heavily. No, it shaped it heavily, man. Like, it's funny because I just can't stay away from the kalimbas and the marimbas.
Uh-huh. I noticed.
The chants. I'm like, put a kalimba in there. Like, it's just the rhythms and the melodies are naturally there for me. It's not like, I just grew up listening to all sorts of stuff. Oliver Mutukudzi. You just hear stuff all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and even the church singing, and even being at funerals and hear the songs, people, the hymns.
Singing,
You hear all these things. And so, it's what you're around. It's all you know. I didn't grow up really. I did have a little bit of like a rock influence. I liked a bit of like the pop, punk rock kind of stuff. But between that and like even U2 and those kind of bands.
Yeah.
And some of the Christian stuff as well. But yeah, the African music was very much a big part of my childhood. You know? And so it plays a huge part. So even in America, I'll come up with a melody that I think is just normal. And guys are like, man, I really hear the African influence in that. I'm like, really? Yeah, nice. But, you know, for them, it's so foreign because I'm maybe doing some things that are common here that aren't so common there. So yeah, it's played a huge part. I'm grateful for it.
Yeah.
But it's like, I'm grateful because I haven't tried to forge a fake style.
Nice.
You know what I say? Yeah. Because a lot of people are looking like, what's my style?
Exactly.
What kind of music do I make? For me, I'm like, I make African cinematic music and I also make Afro pop and I make pop. And, you know, it wasn't like I had to force that genre.
Exactly.
It just what came naturally to me.
Nice.
So that's been a beautiful thing. I'm grateful for that, man.
Yeah.
I love that.
Because it really, from the stuff that I've heard, it really comes through. Like even just Makanaka, it's a perfect blend of EDM and Afro pop. Which is why it resonates with almost everybody.
EDM. No, that's cool. You can hear it. Yeah.
Let's talk about your faith journey.
Yeah.
Because I really just love the fact that you've stayed the course. You know, you shared a bit earlier, about your journey, the challenges that you faced, and you know, some of the decisions that you had to make. Tell me about that. You're living in the States.
Yeah.
You're living in Cali at the time, and Cali is just like the capital of debauchery. I'm always talking to Taps, and some of the stories he tells me about the things that he sees, you know, because Taps is based in LA and stuff, and some of the friends that I know who are there, so I kind of have an idea, right? But I'm wondering, what's you're out there on your own, you know, you can pretty much do whatever you want. There's no one necessarily following you around and keeping track of everything you're doing.
Yeah.
What's made you stay the course?
Man, you know, looking back, you can see that the Holy Spirit was really helping. You know, I didn't realize it, but I remember one day just waking up and realizing, you know, because when you're a kid in high school, you're trying to get around your parents to do stuff.
Yeah.
You're trying to like sneak around to see that girl. You're trying to do whatever it is you're doing. You're trying to get around your parents to do it.
Yeah.
So it's not really your moral compass.
Mm-hmm.
It's their moral compass, and you're just trying to see how far you can get if you can.
Yeah.
But then there came a day where I realized, well, no one's stopping me from doing anything. So what is my actual belief? And I remember thinking like, whoa, if I had kids, who would I actually be? Like, who would I actually be? Am I a person who drinks a lot? Am I a person who, you know, talks to a few chicks? Am I a person who doesn't mind? You know, who am I? Like, it's like, am I the person who watches R-rated movies? Is that who I am? Am I the person, you know, who am I?
Who am I,
You know, so it's interesting. It's like, it came a point where I realized, wow, it has nothing to do with my parents anymore. What's my walk with God?
Yeah.
And so then there came a time where I was like, sheesh, well, I think at that time, 23, 24, when I really turned my heart to the Lord, I was like, okay, I think that kind of was the plumb line of like, okay, I'm just gonna accept the things that God's putting in my heart. And at the time it was like, hey, I just want you to stop drinking. And I was like, cool. And I didn't ever struggle with alcohol in my life, but I would have a beer here and there, you know, kind of thing. But I just felt like the Lord said stop. And so I was like, cool, I'm just gonna stop. Wow. And I just stopped, right? Yeah. I haven't drunk since.
Yeah.
But it's by no means under law. Yeah. Not under law to not drink, you know, but it's just what the Lord put on my heart. That was my walk with him. It's not, and I can't put it on anyone else.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, I don't know if that answers the question, but it was a little bit like, I just realized, hey, this either has to be my walk or not my walk. And that's kind of how it ended up happening.
I love that. So, and then that's kind of sustained you.
Yeah.
It sustained me, but I won't pretend that it's just been easy since then.
Yeah.
You know, there was, it's funny. I feel like the moment you go after God altogether, there's such a sweetness, but then calamity is quickly to come.
Quickly come, yeah.
Calamity is quickly coming. Don't fool yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, God's so faithful because he actually wants to try our faith.
Mm-hmm.
And your faith is tested and tried to see what it is. And and it'll become valuable. It's valuable and it's precious and it's refined through trial.
Yeah.
And so oftentimes as believers, we think, I turn my heart to God. And then it's all good now for the rest of my life. It's just not the case. It's just not reality. Nah. And you know, if you've walked with the Lord, you know that to be true.
Yeah.
However, you also know him to bring you through
those trials.
Those trials and the calamities. Because he's wanting to strengthen you. He's not wanting to crush you. So I think that's something I've experienced over the time since then. The journey has been experiencing some of the crushing and some of the calamities, some of the physical infirmities, some of these things. However, I've also seen as gentle leading and his faithfulness.
Mm.
And there's still some things I'm waiting to see his faithfulness on, truly.
Yeah.
There's still some things I'm like, I'm unclear about what the outcome is yet. However, I know that it's his hand leading.
I love that.
And that's where I have to put my trust. Yeah. Otherwise, I can be like, oh, I've got to figure this out and make it make sense.
Yeah.
I can't. You know, so that's kind of been my journey the last several years, and my faith has just been saying, God, I trust that, man, you're leading me by my right hand. And even though it makes no sense sometimes, and even though, gosh, some things are tough, and I don't know why certain things happened and the calamities that have come. However, I trust you.
Wow.
I like that, Dan.
So there's obviously been like, or maybe not, pressure to be in ministry or be involved in the ministry, like stay in the ministry, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
With your parents' ministry and church. How did you navigate that, like, that pressure? It probably wasn't coming from the inside, but obviously from us in the congregation, we have certain expectations. Like, these are the pastor's kids, so they're supposed to be in ministry.
Yeah.
So this, you know, seeing, like, guys going off and pursuing their own careers, it's kind of like, what are they doing? Like, I'm sure there's that kind of, like, that pressure.
Yeah.
I don't know if you felt it, though. You know, that expectation that, you know, and like, how you navigated that. Because it could get to you to think, am I supposed to be here or am I making the right choices going after this career?
Yeah, well, you know, I think ministry is a very interesting thing. Yeah. I don't believe that ministry is something you just take on yourself.
Yeah.
I don't think you just say, I want to be a pastor. Hey, let me go get a degree and I'm ready. I don't believe in that.
Yeah.
I believe God has to call you into that.
100%.
And then I also think, you know, to be completely honest, and you heard it here first.
Yeah.
Lots of things you heard first. But in my heart of hearts, I feel called to ministry.
Nice. Yeah.
And I kind of know that in my heart.
Yeah.
However, there's things that I'm facing even in my health and stuff like that that I've had to navigate that's kept me in the States longer than I wanted to be.
Yeah.
So in the same time I've been building a career, I've also been there under circumstances that haven't been my own choice.
Uh-huh.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And then at the same time, also have to trust God's timing on
timing,
this stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because sometimes we may be wanting to do something, but God's saying, hey, it's not the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's not the time yet. So I think on the one hand, my parents have been incredible because they never forced us. They never said, you guys are going to be the pastors, you're going to do this jazz. They just said, hey, guys, you need to do what God calls you to do.
Mm.
And so that's been such a relief because, you know, a lot of pastors' kids are forced to do stuff.
Yeah.
and it's also been a blessing to be able to have a career outside of the ministry. Because I mean, a lot of people also think, pastors' kids are only in ministry because they can't do anything else. You see what I mean?
Yeah, you know?
And not that that's a point to prove. I don't care, really, like what people think. Yeah. However, you know, this time becoming, you know, doing music and stuff like that, it's helped me navigate my faith. And it's also grown me in different ways. And the time not being in active ministry, you know, God's doing stuff in our lives. He's actually like, he's shaping us into be the vessel we're supposed to become. But that doesn't just happen overnight. You know? And so it's just, it's learning. I think for me, it's been accepting, rather than feeling the pressure, it's just been accepting the path he has me on.
Okay.
And right now that's in the States. And like I said, right now it's because of health reasons that I'm having to do stuff in America. And it's like, I want to be here so bad. Kudo knows. But I've undergone some stuff that's like, shucks, I'm stuck there for a little bit longer. But I also know that could just be God's perfect timing.
Yeah.
You see? So it's not a resistance to ministry or an eagerness to ministry. It's just a gentle trust. If that makes sense. That
makes a lot of sense. And I love I love how you answered that. Especially the part that you said that being in ministry is about calling. Because the Bible actually says no man takes this honor upon himself. And I think the challenge that I often see today is that ministry has become a career. Almost. You know, somebody just goes to college, they go to Bible school, they come back, they're ready to be a pastor. Now, I'm sure there are people who do follow that path who are called. But many times you then get people who don't understand the pains and the weight that comes with ministry and the responsibility that comes with it. You know, I remember when I was much younger, when I used to think, you know, I'm going to be a pastor and I'm going to have a big church and I'm going to be this big name preacher. You know, that's literally the image that I had in my mind of what it meant to be in ministry. But when I look at my journey, I even have people today from back then who asked me, like, dude, are you still preaching? Are you still, we all thought you were going to be the pastor. Then I was like, no, guys, it's cool. It's cool. You know what I'm saying? Because I've come to realize that it's a journey and ultimately it's God who calls you.
You've got to
walk that process. You've got to walk that journey.
Completely.
And you've got to be qualified. You know,
Completely.
So it's not just a thing you do, and of course, Keith, you're a pastor. You know this.
I was gonna be in music. I was gonna be a rapper, and I was gonna get into business. And funny enough, at one of the youth meetings, your mom was there, and she actually said it. She said, "You're gonna be a pastor," and we were like,
"Because he was the least."
She actually least did likely say, like, out of all the leaders, there was Rob, there was you, there was blah, like John Wayne.
She said that to you.
Yes, direct. Just says, "You're gonna be a pastor." I'm like, me? What the heck?
Did you think? No way.
And this is like 2006 or something like that. Yeah, that's like,
can you stop giving like away almost the, like the year?
18 years ago.
Yeah, we were young. We were very young.
I only got ordained as a pastor in 2014. That's like 8 years later.
That's crazy.
But how crazy is that? I'll be honest. I never saw Keith as a pastor. You know,
never, ever.
You know,
there is a God in heaven.
The Lord really scrapes the bottom of the barrel. You know, no, I'm joking. But yeah, so I think realizing that is so important, especially in this day and age where it's become about the popularity, the numbers, the glitz and glam. It's almost like
celebrity pastors.
Pastors have become celebrities, and I'm like, guys, we've got to be careful, man.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think there's also, it's a fearful thing to be a pastor.
It is.
I think you probably feel that. Like, even speaking in church tomorrow. Or what's today?
Friday. On Sunday.
On Sunday. preaching in church on Sunday. Yeah. It's like, I'm like, geez. Like, you know, the Bible says not many of you should become teachers.
Yes.
Because you also undergo like twice the judgment
twice
of people who are just normal. I'm like, yes, that's hectic.
Yeah.
You know, so I think for me, when I look at the gospel or being a pastor, for me, it's a frightening thing.
It is.
It's petrifying. I'm like, God, just have mercy on me once, but twice. It's like, geez, you know, and you're responsible for what you teach.
Yeah.
You're responsible.
Absolutely.
So for me, I look at it and say, if that's in the future, I don't want to rush that. And I don't want to rush what God's doing to mold that in me or to whatever he's using me as a vessel for.
Yeah.
I don't want to take that position or any position because I'm saying, let you mold me. you build your church, you do what you're doing.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just going to be here and be willing.
Wow.
You know?
That's good.
I love that, Dan. Yeah. I love it. And you know, and even just to our listeners who may be in this position, you know, yeah, where you're thinking, maybe, you know, God has called me to ministry and to do stuff for him. Are you letting God mold you? Are you allowing that process to happen? For God to enrich you, for God to test you.
Yeah.
Through the fire, through the trials, through the because I can imagine that you never thought that you'd go through all the different things that you've gone through.
Dude, not a chance.
In your journey. But you know, just the character that it builds in you, the certain things, and I'm realizing this even, you know, that I used to think that, you know, this faith walk, man, it's gonna be good.
Mm. Yeah.
You're blessed.
Yeah.
You're blessed, man. You got money.
Yeah.
You know, it's just dope. And then you go to heaven. I'm like,
I'm signing up.
I'm signing up, man.
I
mean,
but I think the problem is it was almost sold like that sometimes.
Sometimes.
You know, when the reality is, to be a believer is hard.
Bro.
I'm sorry. If you want to be a believer, it's a if you want an easy life, then don't
do
live
it.
In the will of God.
Yeah.
But if you want to
don't become a Christian.
Living in the will of God, absolutely. Living in the will of God is tough.
Yeah.
Really tough.
People think, if you're in the will of God, smooth sailing.
Nah.
I'm saying, no, if you're in the will of God, just prepare. Because he's going to shape you to become like his son. Yeah.
Exactly.
Your life will be fruitful. However, it may not be fulfilling to the flesh.
To the flesh,
That's just a reality.
That's the truth.
It's the reality. You know, but we get the peace, we get his favor, we get his grace, we get all these good things. However, we don't get the easy road.
Yeah.
I love something that I heard on Sunday. I think your mom actually said this. She said, your best days are ahead of you, but not your easiest days.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought, this is actually...
Yeah.
Because that's the piece that a lot of people... No offense, but actually, a lot of these prosperity teachers, man, you know, and I used to be on that bandwagon. I used to really... eat all of that up. Yeah, you know, I was like, yeah, man, God wants to bless you. But now I'm like, ish, guys, this message, Yehudi, your best days are ahead of you. God is going to open doors for you. I'm like, it might be true, right, that he will. Mm. But also, there's trials coming.
Yeah.
There's tests that come with that.
Yeah.
It's like how preachers conveniently skip. You know that verse that says, no one who, you know, leaves, you know, property, wealth, friends, family, whatever, for the sake of my gospel, will fail to gain much more in this lifetime. Friends, property, whatnot, whatnot. And then at the end says, with persecution. They're like conveniently skip the persecutions. But they're coming. That's part of it. Yeah. They're mixed with all that blessing and whatever.
Yeah.
They're there.
Yeah.
Completely. Yeah. And I actually think it's so important that we start to highlight that stuff.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of believers become discouraged when they go through a fire.
Exactly.
You know, it even says, you know, don't be shocked at the fiery trials that are coming to test you. As if something strange were happening to you. Have you not felt that way? I felt that way.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, this is a mull.
Dude. No, but what was going on?
It's true.
You start binding the devil, bro.
Yeah, correct. Exactly. Correct. Meanwhile, it's God's hand.
Yeah. It's God's hand. Yeah.
It's God's hand. You know? Because how else are we learning long suffering?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Forbearance.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
How are we learning patience? James talking about patience having its perfect work. Like, you be perfect, lacking nothing. Let patience have its full course in your life.
Dude.
And you have to wait
for all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution.
So you're like, shucks, that's wild. But I feel like that's been so missed.
Yeah.
You know, even in our young faith, sometimes I think that was also not quite emphasized. You know? But I think it's important now to realize, because I think then we can say, hey, continue on the narrow road.
Exactly.
Let's keep going together. Yeah. Let's keep running together. Otherwise, we'll be discouraged. Unzo are doing well out there. And the Christians are struggling.
It's struggling. It's mild, bro.
But you know what? We'll become sweet.
Yeah.
Because when all that stuff falls apart, we're saying, hey, God's been testing us and he's been trying us and we're coming out gold.
Nice. Yep.
We'll become bright sweet, bro. Mm. Oof. Yeah. I'm definitely sweeter than I was before.
Cookie Monster. Cookie Monster.
So as we get ready to wrap up here, let's talk about Jacaranda.
Good old Jacaranda.
So Dan is going to be... So Jacaranda Music Festival is a huge music festival that happens in Zim annually, actually run by a friend of ours called Walter Wanyanya.
West.
The best. It's not a Christian event.
No.
It's not a Christian event. It's a festival. It's like an arts festival. Yeah. There's lots of music. But what I do love about Jacaranda is that it's more of a family kind of setup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a family kind of setup where you can come with your kids, you can come with, you know, you can come with your parents, you know, even because the acts that are going to be there, you know, you're not going to be getting people grinding on stage and whatever. so far. So Dan was announced as one of the performers for this year's Jacaranda Festival. So let's talk a bit about that, right?
Yeah.
How did we get there?
Kura, you know how I got there.
Okay,
Kuro is a big part.
For the benefit of our listeners.
We got there because I feel like there's room for creative expression from Christian artists. Well, artists who are Christians in the secular space.
Yeah.
And we were talking about it. And I'd always kind of wanted to do a live show with just kind of epic, cinematic, crazy music that's just like another world, thing at a festival.
Yeah.
And I thought, man, Jacaranda is such an awesome festival.
Yeah.
Let's give it a bash. And so then we talked about it with Walter and then was like, yeah, let's do this. Let's do this thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Love it. Looking forward to it.
I'm pumped, man. I'm so pumped.
So what's that going to be? Like, what exactly are you going to be doing there?
Basically, I want to take people on the biggest journey they've been on. Nice. Like, I want people to experience 10 different emotions within the set. Yeah. And really also get an appreciation for Zim and some of the different, I guess, colors of Zimbabwe, you know, from the dance kind of music to the epic kind of Victoria Falls feelings and you know, all the way down to like a safari type feeling and then delicate like ballerina kind of vibes. And so I'm putting on a full production. It's not just going to be me on the stage with the microphone. It's going to be a whole bunch of stuff. And I'm collaborating with a bunch of different dancers and teams like that. So it should be pretty cool show.
I'm pumped.
I'm really pumped.
I'm excited.
Where else are performing with Jacaranda?
Casper New Vest.
I said we.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I thought you asked who else is performing.
You're performing. Oh, you're not
Scripts and Bars. Not me, of course, because at the media launch, I saw Scripts and Bars there. Yeah. Nice, man.
Yeah, so those are like my babies.
Yeah. So Keith runs this.
So I run a music incubation program.
Incredible.
Yeah, so we're developing artists and stuff. Yeah. So we're going to do a showcase with some of our recent graduates. They're going to perform there.
And that's Scripts and Bars.
Scripts and Bars, yeah.
What kind of music is it?
So they're varied. So they're from...
So that's with the British...
British Council. Council, is the one that supports it.
That's awesome, man.
I love that. Yeah, so they're varied. You've got hip-hop guys, dance, Afrofusion, Afropop. Sort of thing.
That's epic. I'm excited.
It's going to be really good.
Flips, I'm the only one not performing. Jacaranda.
I'm just watching them perform.
I should make a plan.
But I'm really looking forward to your set. It sounds.
Yeah. Vice versa, man. Yeah, it should be a fun festival, you know.
Yeah.
It's going to be dope.
And I'm excited about it because I think, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, you're Christian, but you're performing at a secular event.
Yeah.
But I'm also like, you know, I think we all carry a scent, if you will. We all carry a scent of our lives.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you look at a painting...
A scent as in not a dollar.
Wow.
Well, some people are carrying scents. But like a scent, like a fragrance. We all carry a fragrance, you know, to our lives.
Damn, I'm busy thinking about money. But
That's all right. Oh, man. But, you know, like if you look at a painting, you can see a piece of art and it's like... And that's a beautiful painting.
Yeah.
It may not have Jesus' face on it or like angels in heaven. Yeah. But it touches your heart or even your soul in a way that's edifying.
Yeah.
But then you can also see another painting and it's dark and you're like, this is actually destructive
to my soul. Yeah.
You know, so I think in the same way, like with this show, you know, there's room for music that may not be directly quote unquote Christian.
Absolutely.
However, it's edifying.
100%.
And that's the scent and that's the fragrance of it, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think there's room for that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I love it. I read a quote. Actually, I was in one of these debates that we're having about the whole Kirk Franklin thing several weeks back. And I remember I recalled an episode that we did that it's not about secular versus sacred versus secular. But it's more about sacred versus profane.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? So it's like, it's not that the moment something becomes secular, it ceases to be sacred.
Correct.
You can be in a secular setting and still carry yourself in a holy manner, in a sacred manner.
Completely.
Because in reality, guys, everything we're involved in the world, the work that we do, the people we interact with on a day-to-day basis, we're functioning in a secular setting.
Exactly. Completely.
But then I think the challenge comes when we as Christians now start to become profane.
Correct.
In the way that we're doing what we're doing. Absolutely. And I think that's where it can become a problem, because then now we're going against the very fabric of what it means to be godly. But I think there's space for Christians in the arts.
Yeah.
There's space for Christians in business and several different types of expressions.
Yeah.
Which are not necessarily Christian, but which still emit that scent.
Yeah, because I think it's funny when people say like, oh, well, are your songs all Christian songs? I'm like, well, if you sell solar panels, does every solar panel have a scripture on it?
That's a good
one. It's like, I end up putting John 3:16 on the solar panels.
Actually, all my solar panels have a scripture on them.
Yeah, right.
The Lord is my light.
You did the solar panel. I'm going to go up and check.
Oh, yeah, by the way. Maybe I should do that. The Lord is like my light and my salvation.
Winning ideas. But you know, it's like the reality is like, hey, you know, we're living in the world. We're also doing things in the world.
Things,
and that's just part of it, you know. But like I said, it's the fragrance of the fragrance.
I love that.
What you carry. Yeah. Like, hey, you can install for solar panels with a terrible heart.
Exactly.
Hiding judgment and bitterness and everything in there. For but you can also do it with a good heart.
Yeah. Exactly.
Just the fragrance of your life is edifying. You
know? Yeah.
Any parting shots?
Parting shots is, guys, it's been fantastic to be here with you guys. It's been great.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying the
likewise,
vibes.
Yeah.
Keith, it's good to see you after so many years.
Likewise. Yeah. It's been, it's been incredible. I love this.
Yeah. Totally, man. And Dan, thanks for sharing your journey with us.
Pleasure, man. Yeah. Pleasure.
You know, I think our listeners, I don't think they're any 5-year-olds. But
there are people with 5-year-olds.
Well, there are definitely people with 5-year-olds.
Exactly.
Anyway, how they came about is a whole other story. But yeah, there are people with 5-year-olds, many. And just for our listeners, especially because I know there are people who are on journeys.
Yeah.
People who are trying to make decisions, people who are at crossroads, people who are struggling with stuff, people who are, you know, burdened with stuff. And I think just hearing you share your journey, you know, that being a pastor's son doesn't absolve you from the responsibility or necessarily shield you from the tests, the trials that everybody else goes through. I think that's really good. Maybe just speak into that for a bit, you know, just to encourage somebody who may be listening, who just needs to hear from you.
You know, I think the quicker we accept what God's doing in our lives, the better it is.
Mm.
You know, I think sometimes we try to fight what he's actually trying to do in our lives. And sometimes that can be hard. And I think, you know, wherever you're going through, you know, I think the Lord knows how to, you know, like the scripture says, like, I work all things out together for the good of those who love
me.
And so if we can get our hearts to a place where we love him and just trust, hey, you're the author of my life. And in the hardship, just trusting that he has you there for a reason.
Yeah.
He has us there for a reason. You know, I often think of Joseph in the prison. And it's like, well, how did Joseph get out? It wasn't because he told the oaks, hey, tell Pharaoh about me. That fell through.
That fell through, yeah.
Everything he tried to do fell through. He even got out with part of his wife, and then part of his wife was shooting, accused him falsely.
Yeah.
And back in prison, he's like, oh, but I was doing the righteous thing.
Yeah.
So sometimes you can be walking in your walk, doing the right thing. You're still like, God, nothing's coming through. But if you stick with the Lord, you'll find that he knows how to give the dream to Pharaoh at the right time. Wow. You know, and he knows how to work in our lives. And he has a plan, and he's working it out. However, it just requires us to accept his dealings. And sometimes that dealing is patience.
Patience, yeah.
You know, I think that's the one that's the toughest sometimes, when you just feel like nothing is moving.
Yeah.
And you're like, Lord, everyone's moving in life.
Yeah.
Booking. Oh, so making moves.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you're not making any moves.
Yeah.
And the harder you try, the more it's shut down.
Yeah.
So it's almost like it's just accepting, God, this is where you have me.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I think that for me would be my word of encouragement. And that's even speaking to myself. I get frustrated some days.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the flip? I can't please. Like, oh. Yeah. And you know, in these moments, things come up in your eyes. You get impatient. You're like, oh, Lord, yeah. I've been waiting. I've been praying. You know? But he's also just teaching us. He's teaching us. And yeah, so I think knowing, hey, he's really got you. He's really got you. And he's leading you to something. He's more interested in what he's doing in you than what he's bringing to you. Wow. You know.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, guys, thanks for listening. This has been a great episode. Just really funny. Lots of laughs. Lots of craziness in the room. But just such a great pleasure to have Dan in the studio. Mr. Kent.
Yeah.
You know, myself. My sweet self. But yeah, thank you for listening. God bless. And we'll catch you on the next one.
Yeah.
Peace.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Radiant Culture Podcast. If you want to make a contribution, make a suggestion, or have a request, you can get in touch with us via email on radiant@thehub.co.zw or inbox us on Facebook and Twitter. Look out for the next episode and remember to share this one with everybody you know. God bless.
It's hot. It's fresh. It's uncut. #RealTalk on the Radiant Culture Podcast.